Blog Talk Radio.
Books. I want the and they're sitting around my sleep down. And making it jump down.
Oh,
Now, see if they can hear me.
You have to talk.
Hello, everybody.
I can hear you.
It would help if I turned the mics on. That's the way I am. So what I'm saying is, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is our Wednesday night prayer service, and I was inviting you to come up on MiracleInternetChurch.com. There are televisions, shows there, MP3s that you can listen to. There's newsletters. And, you know, we put together the MiracleInternetChurch.com so that the people that have streamed out of the churches all over the world have a place where they can come and get fed. And also, we started Radio Blog Talk, Blog Talk Radio, Miracle Internet Cafe, or you can get there through Dr. Dr. Pat Holiday. And we started it as our Wednesday night and Friday night prayer meetings. And we use these times to fellowship with the saints, plus we use it to teach. We use it to pray for people, to deliver people, for God to bring miracles to people. Also, we encourage our listening audience to call in with testimonies of what God's doing in their lives. And we believe that this is a pioneer show. Many people have tried to copy it. It's not easy to copy. You just really do have to have the anointing of God to cast out devils. You just don't decide to do that unless you're called and trained to do that, because it's a serious, serious ministry. And we know that God uses it. And so we just wanted to encourage you that deliverance is a process. A lot of people come to a deliverance ministry like it's an emergency room. And they come in, they're bleeding, they're sick, they are confused, and they want to just have somebody to pray for them, and then they think it's all over. That's the beginning. When somebody prays for you, that is the beginning. Because then you have to attach yourself very closely to the Lord. It's a very close walk. And you actually have to learn how to defend yourself, because the deliverance minister can't be around you 24 hours a day. And the devil knows that you don't know very much, and he will try to use your ignorance to attack you. So we offer you the Miracle Internet Church and Blog Talk recasting so that you can learn quick, so that you can defend yourself and be free. It takes time sometimes to free people. There's so much that we're exposed to in our world today that you get infected, you get contaminated by things that you do, places that you go. If you've ever been in a cult religion, you're contaminated. You need deliverance. If you've ever been in a faith that teach another Jesus, this third wave group that's taken over the churches, many of the churches, you need deliverance. You need deliverance, because that's a different spirit called Kundalini. If you've been to the purpose-driven churches, that's a church that takes your mind also. You need deliverance, because the demons come in, those religious spirits, and they will eventually, if you don't know they're there, you will eventually, because the job of a devil is to come to rob, steal, and destroy. And those devils will come for that purpose. And so I'm telling you that just about everybody that I know needs deliverance. Now, you might not think you do, because some preacher who needs deliverance themselves have told you you don't need deliverance. I've been kicked out of churches because of this ministry here in America, and seen pastors that abused me after I left the ministry or left the church, got up and defamed and slandered my name, ended up in very serious problems with the Lord. And I didn't pray any kind of curses or hexes or spells on them. You see, the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Now, I don't necessarily proclaim myself as a prophet or apostles and all these things that they're talking about. I believe that I am a woman of God that is submitted to Jesus to do his work for as long as I'm alive. And the way I'm covered is, it says that whatsoever you shall do to one of the least of these, you do to Jesus. And I believe that I'm one of his least, at least. And so we need to begin to be very careful. But people are being driven out of their churches. Old-time saints were asked to leave these new churches, these new modern doctrines, because the people that formulated them, they know that somebody that has been in the Word for several years and is versed and close to Jesus would know their error when they see it. So they took over the churches, and they ask a lot of people just to leave. If you can't get in an agreement with it, you were asked to get out. And so you need deliverance. You need to pray about it. You need to fast about it. You need to believe Jesus that you are a candidate for freedom if you believe in Jesus Christ, because that's what you are. You're a candidate to be free. Now, you won't enjoy Christianity if you don't get free. Because if you don't get free, those devils have full reign over your life and you're tormented. I know a lot of Christians that are totally tormented because they're not free. They love the Lord, and they'll say things like this: well, the reason I'm sick all the time, sister, is that God uses me as a testimony. You see, I'm sick, and everybody that sees me, they're just amazed about how faithful I am to Jesus. Haven't you ever heard that one? Well, let me tell you something strange. That is not a good testimony for Jesus. You see, Jesus came to restore those things that we've lost through the powers of the enemy. The Bible in Joel chapter 2, it says that he will come and he will restore that which the chankerworm and also the caterpillar has destroyed. Now, what does a caterpillar and a chankerworm do? Well, they eat the leaves off of your tree. Have you got missing leaves on your tree? Because you see, that's what they do. They steal the juice from the vine, from the roots of the tree. And so you need to see and examine your life and see, where am I missing God? You know, I never can seem to make it. It looks like every time something's going to happen for me. That was one of those jets flying over that we cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. You see, every time it looks like I'm going to go forth, the door shuts. The door cracks open, and when I start to walk through it, it shuts. Well, somebody's shutting that door. And I can tell you, it's not God. The Lord says in the Bible, I can open up doors that no man can open, and I can shut doors that no man can shut. So the devil wants to keep you chained to the things of the world so that you cannot enjoy the wonders of God and His universe. Now, God is a very exciting personality. And as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You see, when you determine in your heart that you're going to go all the way and that you're going to fulfill the calling that God has placed over your life, then things change for you. And you begin to do things that you never dreamed that you could possibly do. So, you know, we're going to talk about water spirits. How many Christians, real, genuine Christians that love the Lord, have demons coming into their bedrooms at nighttime and raping them? Well, if you were a minister like me and Dr. Sabrina, you would know that it's more than you would like to say. Mm-hmm. Because it's happening all over the world. And these are Christians, a lot of times, that are going to church every Sunday, paying their tithes, singing songs, raising their hands to the Lord, believing that everything's fine. But for some reason, they're having these visitations at night. Now, mind you, most of these people, they would not dare go to their pastor and even admit that to their pastors. This is a story that we've heard for years now all over the world. And so what happens is they get tormented, more tormented, and they don't know what to do. Well, you heard me earlier say that the devil came to rob, steal, and destroy. And whenever you've got visitation of night spirits coming either in your dreams or in your physically appearing in your bedrooms, you've got a spiritual problem. And that spiritual problem must be solved if you're going to be a Christian that will be able to live in peace for the rest of your life. Well, you know, a lady wrote me the other day, and she said, I saw a witch bury and do a ritual not too far away from my house. She said, how do I pray for that? And so then another day she will write, and she'll tell of some other experience, and she'll say, how do I pray for that? And, you know, let me tell you, that's why we have the radio church. That's why we have the internet church, is to put articles, to put teachings, to do MP3s, so that you can learn how to handle those things. I mean, there's prayer, there's books up there about prayer. But each time something happens, she writes me an email. Now, how do I pray for this? How do I pray for that? Well, you see, when we're praying for you, to me, a demon is a demon. And demons do have different levels of power. And demons come from different places. And for instance, you have the powers and principalities in the air, and those powers and principalities are over towns and over states and over governments, and they rule from the second heaven. And then you have powers and principalities and rulers of darkness from the underworld. And those things come up from the ground, and they are coming up from hell. And then you have powers and principalities and rulers over the waters of the earth. Now, these waters, these powers, they are in the oceans, and they are very, very powerful spirits because they rule from the biggest bodies of water in the world. But then you have powers that come from the streams and the lakes of any city, rivers. You can see it, and I've taught on it up on Blog Talk Radio. But just to refresh your memory, I'm not going deeply into it because I already have for you. You need to recast some of the things so that you can learn quicker. But whenever Moses led the captives from Egypt, God taught him about the powers of the water spirits. And he told him, he said, Moses, he said, go watch Pharaoh early in the morning and see what he does. So he goes and he spies on Pharaoh. And lo and behold, there is Pharaoh bowing and scraping and worshiping at the edge of the water. What was he doing? He was worshiping the gods of the land. And it was those gods that gave him powers to be Pharaoh and to subject and enslave all of the people, particularly the Hebrew people. And so he watched him, and then God gave him a plan. And the plan was that God was going to defeat the water gods through a human vessel. And so God would tell him what to say to Pharaoh to set the people free. And each time the Pharaoh refused, God would do a supernatural miracle through Moses. And each supernatural miracle that he did through Moses, the astrologers and the pagan worshipers were able to duplicate the miracles. And so then God told Pharaoh he was going to defeat the river gods. And that's where the big power was. And so what he had to do was Moses had to show Pharaoh that God's power was greater than those river powers. Now, those river powers, Moses called them up out of the river. They came, and you remember the frogs going into everybody's homes and all of the snakes and all of the river gods came out of the waters and was working against the kingdom that it once supported. And so finally, Pharaoh, still, even after his gods were defeated, he would not give consent to let God's people go. So then the last straw was that God had to release the spirit of, or the fallen angel of death, over the land where every child was murdered. He eventually let them go, but then he did a great demonstration of God's power over the water power. He parted the Great Sea, and God's people came through that sea on dry land and went to the other side. And whenever they were on the other side, Pharaoh said, hey, our gods will let us go through the sea. And as he started to go through that sea, he and his army were destroyed. You see, God that we serve is much more powerful than the gods of the water. They're much more powerful than the gods in the heavens. and in the gods of the underground. It's just that we look at power of devils exactly like we look at power of sin. Oh my goodness, that man is an alcoholic. He's a sinful, perverse, blaspheming man. And he's a big sinner. I don't think God can save him. And then you have this other one. Well, all he does is tell a little lie every now and then. You see, friends, Genesis proves that sin is sin. To Americans today, all he did was tell a little white lie. That really is the truth. It was such a little thing to just go and eat of the apple and lie about it. All Adam did was tell a white lie. Well, the woman made me do it. Well, you see, the truth is that sin is sin. And then we see the next big sin where Cain killed his brother. So, what are we going to do with all of this? We've got to begin to think of it spiritually. And the way you think about these things spiritually is your God is more powerful than all of the demons in the whole world put together. None of them can overcome the power of God. They are all just created beings, just like we are. And so therefore, they're not more powerful than God. Another thing that you have to take into consideration is that the devil cannot create a thing. He's not a creator. He can draw people like the Pied Piper into demonic music and take their minds and steal their souls through sin, but he can't create anything. And you have to see that so clearly to understand the power of God. You have to see this to the point of understanding that when these people start telling you that you're a hybrid and that you've been intermixed with angels, that all of that stuff is just a lie from the pit of hell. It never happened in Genesis 6. And when you closely read the Word of God, you will see that God was not talking to angels. He was talking to the sons of the mighty men. And who are the mighty men? Those were the sons of Cain that were pushed out of the garden because he had killed their brother, his brother. And so these were the men of sin. And who were the daughters? Those were the daughters of the line of seed. The people that came out of the garden with their eye on the promise that is shown over in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman shall bruise his head. Who is the seed of the woman? Jesus. So those were the ones that came out with Adam and Eve and their son. And they followed seeking the Messiah. So you had two seeds in the world at that time. You had the sons of Cain and the sons of Seth. Now, you see, to say that an angel was able to come into a woman and that an angel was able to impregnate that woman, you are actually saying that angels have creative powers to impregnate a person. My Bible tells me that human beings are made in the image and the likeness of God. And it tells me that Satan has no creative powers. Well, if Satan has no creative powers, neither do the angels. So we have to get our hats on correctly to understand spiritually that God is the only creator. and that these things and these people that teach those kind of things do not know the Word of God, and they do not know God, because they pull His creation down to the level of occult teachings. So I told you all of this to let you know that your God is above all, and He's bigger than those water spirits. He's bigger than the fallen angels. He's bigger than all of the demons in the world. So when something happens, the Bible, as a matter of fact, it says that the devil comes as a roaring lion. Well, what is a roaring lion? When the lion gets very, very old, he finds himself a cave, and he goes into that cave to live the rest of his life so that he can be safe. Why? Well, you know, they say that the lion is the king of the jungle. Why is he king? Because he's terror, and he's full of power, and all of the other animals are afraid of him. Why? Because he's got strong teeth, and he can rip them together apart with his teeth. But when he grows old, he loses all of his teeth, so he goes in the cave as a self-protection. But if something or somebody comes close to that cave, he gives out a loud roar, and the person in fear runs away. Well, that's sort of the way the devil is. He has a loud roar, but he has no teeth, and he only has the power that men and women give to him. He does not have power on this earth unless you turn the power over to him. You see, Eve turned her power over to him. Adam gave him his power, and they were made rulers of the earth. And when they turned their power over to him, from then on, he used men to draw them into temptation and sin, to gain power from them. That's the devil. And you'll see it when he stands before the judgment seat. According to Isaiah, the Bible says that the people stand there and look at him, and they can't believe their eyes. The Bible says that they say, "Is this the one? Is this the one that made nations fall and tremble?" They cannot believe that the being that's standing before the mighty throne of God actually took over the world and took the souls of so many men and women. When they look upon his presence, he's just a little puny devil, fallen, stupid, from the throne of God. Once one of the highest angels in heaven got stupid, decided he was so powerful he could steal the throne of God. And the Bible says a great mighty war happened in heaven. And when that war occurred, the Bible tells us that he was thrown and cast out of heaven with one third of the angels. Well, you see, the truth is we have two thirds on our side, which gives us immediately more power than he has. Plus, we have the powerful Jesus that is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me. You see, we're supposed to be overcomers. We're supposed to be the ones that establish the church on this earth. And we are supposed to pick up the power and authority of the church, each new generation, and distribute it to that particular generation. Well, I can tell you, our generation is failing because we have people that are not submitted to God, people that don't know really who Jesus is or what he's done, people that believe the devil has so much power over them that you can't even hardly get them free when you take them through deliverance. It's a sad thing. I was telling Dr. Sabrina earlier, when I came in, I was demon-possessed. I came into the body of Christ. There were no pastors casting out devils. There was nobody. There was a book running around the country called Pigs in the Parlor. That was it. I mean, there wasn't anybody or anything that could help a person that was coming out of demonology, except God bless you, Jesus will help you. Well, see, Jesus works through people, and there were no people that were that would let Jesus work through them. Now, let me tell you how this operates. I was ministering in a church. It was a Pentecostal church here in Jacksonville many years ago, and the pastor was preaching one Wednesday night, and he got a telephone call. And this lady, she said, "Pastor, will you come to my house?" She said, "My son's come home drunk, and I can't do a thing with him." He said, "Well, after church, I'll come by." So he came by, and the boy was sitting there raving drunk. And the pastor says, "Son, you know what you need." And the pastor told me, he said, "I was going to tell him, you need Jesus." And the demon spoke through the pastor's mouth, and he said, "Yes, I know what I need. He needs. He needs deliverance, but you can't cast me out." And so the pastor knew what I was doing in the church was doing deliverance, but he never came to any of the meetings. He played this no see, no tell, no hear spirit, like it wasn't happening. But he let us do it. And so he said, he closed his eyes as tight as he could, and he says, "In the name of Jesus, come out of him." He heard a shriek. And finally he got up enough courage to open up his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, the whole house was dark. He ran over and looked out the window. The whole neighborhood was dark. But guess what? The boy was set free in the name of Jesus by a doubting pastor that just did things that he heard me talk about. You see, God is much more powerful than you are giving him. And you need to begin to find out who Jesus is. And you know, a lot of times when people want to get deliverance, they want to know all about the devil. And they want to buy books about the devil. Look, you already know about the devil. He's got you bound. You need to know about who Jesus is. Buy some books about who Jesus is. The devil is just an imp. He is a defeated imp. And it's time, church, that you woke up and that you can see that the devil is a liar and he is the father of it. And as long as the devil can keep you blinded, he will. But when you get your eyes on Jesus, the biggest water spirit in the world will not be able to stand, even with Jesus coming at a distance. If you read your Bible correctly, over in Revelation chapter 10, you will see one of the biggest water spirits in the world has ever heard of or will ever see. And it comes out of the sea in Revelation chapter 10. You can also see it over in Revelation 9:11. Funny, 9:11 to the magicians and the world powers, 9:11 is a magical number for them. But that's a sideline in another sermon. So when they come over into Revelation 3, this spirit with seven heads comes rising up out of the water. Those seven heads describe a spirit that we see over in Job and other places in the Bible called Leviathan. And that spirit comes up for a purpose. And what that purpose is that spirit is coming up to take dominion satanic dominion over the entire world, and it will possess the man of sin that's called the Antichrist. Now, I've already explained to you that when that Leviathan spirit that is called in the book of Revelation Apollyon or Abaddon takes possession of the Antichrist, he takes possession of that body, mind, body, flesh, and spirit. And that man of sin that worked all of his life to achieve that position becomes a nothing. Just like a hermit shell crab that outgrows his body and has to crawl out of it, and a bigger shell, fish comes in, or a smaller fish or whatever it is. You see, the world is going to be ruled by spirits and by Satan himself through these spirits. Human beings have been sold the goods that they're going to rule the world. No, they're not. And they're not ruling the world now. They're all just loaded with devils. And so you have to see the spiritual aspects of these things. So the biggest spirits in the world cannot stand against the name of Jesus, and they cannot stand against the Jesus that is coming back to this earth on a white horse with all of his saints, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Abaddon, the false religious spirit in that Antichrist, are on the verge of blowing the entire world up. Because if the devil can't have the world, he wants to destroy it. Well, Jesus comes back to save the world, but he has to totally defeat these three personalities, and he just does it with the word of his mouth. He's not going to take his regular sword and go and fight those personalities. He's going to do just like David did with the giant. David said, "You come to me with your armor and your weapons, but I come to you with the name of the Lord." Well, we're going to have more than the name of the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming, and the devil cannot stand against him. He cannot stand against one of his people that understand that. He cannot understand you if you get it correctly. And you start believing Jesus to deliver you. Get your eyes off of what they're doing, how powerful they are, and what they do to you and how they do that to you. Get your eyes off of those things and get your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus can deliver you. See, somebody said this to me one time. They said, "Well, Dr. Holliday, how come Jesus could deliver legions and it takes y'all so long sometimes to set people free?" Well, you see, the guy that Legion was in got in total agreement with Jesus to set him free. In addition to that, he recognized that Jesus had more power. And when Jesus spoke to those devils, that man was ready to get free, and he submitted to Jesus, and he got free. That's what you have to see. It's your submission to Jesus. It's not how much knowledge you know. Although knowledge is good if you use it correctly. It's not who you know. It's not knowing Pat Holliday. It's knowing Jesus. The only thing that Pat Holliday can do for you is to use the name of Jesus. And so you need to begin to go after your deliverance with everything in your heart. It doesn't matter whether it's water spirits. It doesn't matter whether your ancestors have dedicated you to the river gods. I've ministered to many people that their grandma or their aunt took them down to the river and dedicated them to the river gods. They never served the river gods, but the river gods were in their vessels because they came in when they were dedicated through the relative to those gods and goddesses. You see, spiritual things are real, and we cannot and must not ever treat them lightly. Deliverance is real, friends. My heart is in the deliverance ministry because the needs are so great. But my heart weeps many nights for the people that I know and the people in the body of Christ that absolutely refuse the gifts of God to be able to set the captives free. I weep when somebody comes to my ministry, like recently. They came in, they were demon-possessed, the person was demon-possessed, the kids were demon-possessed. After church, we sat and ministered to them. The little boys were coughing up, and they were in bad shape. So was the mom, coughing up this gooky stuff. Afterwards, they walked out beaming bright, the light of God in their hearts, and they were so happy. They told me, they said, "We're so happy." They had let a wizard pray for them. We had previously prayed for them, and I prayed for one of the kids that were having trouble in school for God to touch his mind. The guy was having straight A's, straight A's. Let the wizard pray for him. He became a F student. They came for deliverance. We set them free. And I said, "Now listen, I want to see you here next week." And she said, "Well, you know, I have to work sometime." I said, "Well, if you have to work, you live close enough to me that I'll come by and pick the boys up."
Mm-hmm.
That was weeks ago. I haven't seen him since. You see, what they think is, "I'll just slip over there to Doc Holliday and I'll get this sore spot healed like an emergency room. Then I'm going to go back to my church." And they go back to their church and they get repossessed. Because you see, if the preacher had the goods, and if the preacher knew what he was doing, he would have been able to do for those kids and her what I did. You've got to get this right, friends. Like I told you, when I came in, not everybody was casting out devils. And I'm considered one of the pioneers in America and maybe even in the world for the deliverance ministry. Oh, there's a lot of other people. And I've been in this for 35 years, and I can sit and look at a ministry and tell you whether it's real or not. I can tell you whether they know what they're doing or not. I trained ministers for 8 solid years in the seminary. I know what I'm doing. It might not look like I do, because I'm dealing with people that don't know what they're doing, and they don't know the problems they're in, and they think this is just a game. It's not a game. Water spirits are real. Deliverance is real and mighty. And what you have to do, friends, you have to release yourself to the Spirit of God. And you have to stand believing that God hears your cry of your heart. And that as long as you will submit yourself to God, He will take care of you. There's no question about it. You can be free, but you've got to do it God's way. You can't decide that you're going to come in here and do it your way. You're not going to come in and control Dr. Holliday. It's not possible. You're not going to come in here and decide which way you want to get free when you want to get free. That is not going to work. You see, in the deliverance ministry, The deliverance minister has to maintain power and control over the demons. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking about power and control over human beings. We're talking about power and control over the demons. And when you come out of the New Age movement and you come out of the occult, you come out of serious sin lives like harlotry and molesting children or things like that, it's going to take a while to get you free. And the reason it's going to take a while is because God not only has to work with getting the demons out of you, but he has to work with your mind. And he has to work to teach you how he can cleanse your mind and give you a renewed mind. You got to do it God's way. You cannot do it your way. You cannot choose, well, I want to get rid of these demons because they're cutting my stomach up, but I don't want to quit smoking, or I don't want to quit having an affair with my boyfriend. Listen, it's all the way or no way with Jesus. And Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the light, and no one can come to the Father except by him. And I'm here to tell you, nobody can get deliverance except through Jesus Christ. I mean, I can decide that I want you free, and I can go after those demons in you. If your soul and your spirit and your flesh isn't submitted to Jesus, it's just a waste of time. Because you will go back. And let me just talk for a minute about the price that a deliverance minister pays. Maybe Sabrina will make an addition to this. You see, the deliverance minister is like the leper to the body of Christ, particularly in America. They don't like us. They don't like us because we make them feel guilty. Because they are not doing what God has called them to do. So they do the same thing to us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did to Jesus. They come after Jesus. And they started saying, oh, Jesus. Why, Jesus, he just cast out devils by Beelzebub. And he's just an alcoholic. He goes around drinking, and he is a whorehopper. He goes around with the wicked women. Now, you remember that they did that. But you see, the thing is they came against Jesus Christ because they just really did not have the power to cast those demons out themselves. Is that right? That's right. And so
they didn't want him doing it
because if Jesus cast the demons out, what would happen is then they would know, the people would know that Jesus could cast the demons out, and the people would know that they couldn't. So they had to disparage the name of Jesus. Which they did mightily. Now, if you remember the parable in the book of Matthew about they said that Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub. You all remember those scriptures very well. And then Jesus came to them. And he told them, he said, well, first off, he rebuked them. And he told them very clearly, he said, you can come and talk about me if you want to, and I'll forgive you for it. He said, but if you blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven in this life or the life to come.
Now, I want you to listen very closely to this. He was talking about a bunch of people that were not even believers in the real God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious order of the day, and they were preaching from the writings of the rabbis, not the Word of God. And Jesus came to bring the Word of God back into the land so that souls could be saved. He came to preach the Word and to show the Word in action. So what Jesus said was to these men, he said, I'll forgive you, but you won't be forgiven for stepping on the power of the Holy Spirit and blaspheming it. Well, what they did is they took the power of the Holy Spirit and claimed that it was the power of the devil. Now, you think about all of the Baptists and all of these people that have stood up against the power of Jesus, the power of the deliverance ministry, the power of healing, the power of speaking with unknown tongues, which is clearly shown in the Bible. And they do these things, and they freely do them without fear of God. I fear for their souls. There was one big Baptist minister in Jacksonville that's gone to be with the Lord, wrote a book on Jesus never talked in tongues and spoke out against tongues. Well, that man was 85 years old when he died. He was conservative, independent Baptist. And when he died, it came uncovered that he was a child molester all of his life. You see, you better go by what the Bible says. And if the Bible says, don't come against somebody that's speaking in tongues, because 1 Corinthians 14 says, forbid not to speak in tongues. You better be careful about who you're gossiping and slandering about. You better be careful if it's a real saint of God. Because if you attribute the power of God, the Holy Ghost, to that of the devil, you could be consigning yourself to hell. Now, Paul said it like this. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. So, what happened was Jesus said, I speak in a parable. Unless they hear, believe, and are converted. So Jesus spoke in God talk to his people. And the God talk was, a house divided cannot stand. And the churches all teach that, don't divide the church or it can't stand. Jesus wasn't talking about Christians. He was talking about devils. And so from that, right after that, over in Mark, he gives you the plan. He says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, those scriptures. And let me tell you something. If you bind the devils and you divide their powers, they lose their powers. They lose it. And this is what I have gotten down this far for you to understand. When we bind the devils in you, those devils are bound. When we chain them and cage them, those devils are chained and caged. When we call them out of you, and you feel them coming up from your throat and you're coughing them out, they are leaving. But what stops you from getting totally free is your doubt, your unbelief, and your confession of your mouth. I mean, I've ministered to people that as soon as you get through, they will say, yeah, I got some deliverance, but I feel something over here. Well, you see, we don't go by feelings. We go by faith. And if the Bible tells us whatsoever we shall bind on this earth, shall be bound in heaven, then let me tell you, you better get in the Word. You better sit at the feet of Jesus. And you better do as much as you can to increase your faith. Looking at devils looking at people that are wrong, that are doing bad things, is not going to increase your faith. Going and investigating fallen away ministries and things, God chose me for that. That's what I do because I have a strong faith. But you, as a little baby, you need to be searching deliverance. You need to be seeking God that you get free. He might have you doing things like that at a different date, but right now you need to concentrate on you and getting free and getting to know Jesus. Matthew 12:25-29, look it up later, is about binding the strong man. Matthew 18:18 is about binding demons. And the Bible says in Luke 11:24, the spirits will try to return. This is why we're trying to teach you the word. In 2 Corinthians 3:3-6, God gives you able ministers. And then in Luke 8:26, we see that we're able to cast out legions because whatever Jesus did, we can do. So you've got the anointing. You've got the power. You've got everything that you need, but you've got to get the faith in the hearts of the people so that once you clean them, they can stay free. That's what this radio program is about, staying free, getting free, because Jesus has called us for this time and this season that you can get free, that he can set you free. Sabrina, you have something? Dr. Sabrina? I'm sure she does because she's an able deliverance ministry. She's been rejected. I've been rejected. You don't do this kind of stuff and not be rejected. Go ahead.
Well, believers, I want you to know something. There's a price to pay for coming with Jesus. It's not a free ride. Salvation is free, but the rest of it is not a free ride. I had the privilege when I was in Tampa of attending a church where the preacher said, count the cost. And he preached the sermon several times, count the cost. Because if you want to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. You can't keep your waywardness and follow Jesus. You can't keep your foolishness and follow Jesus. You can't keep yielding to your flesh and your own fleshly thoughts and imagination and follow Jesus. You can't be willful and follow Jesus. You can't be filled with sin and follow Jesus. You can't pick your own association and follow Jesus. You have to submit to Jesus in everything. There is no decision you can make once you have made him Lord of your life without his approval. And why it is you think you can continue to decide what you want to decide and do what you want to do, I do not know, because that is not what the word says. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that God says his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So why it is we would like to continue on and living as the old man lived when we're told to drop the old man and walk as the new man and be transformed in the renewal of our minds out of Romans 12:1-2, I do not know. You actually must execute Romans 12:1-2. It's not a thought. It's something you do. The Bible says faith without works is dead. No one is going to come along and just hand you your faith brick by brick, and all you do is sit there and watch them build the wall of faith in your life. No, you have to be an active participant. You have to spend your time in the scriptures, in the Holy Bible, in the Word. That means you will turn your TV off. that means you will put down your little electronic toy and leave it alone because you want to mature in Jesus Christ. And it's more important for you to get into the Word than sit there and do your email. It's more important for you than to get in the Word than to be on Facebook. It's more important to you to get into the Word than play around on Twitter. You see, they're toys for children, but the Bible is telling you to stop acting like a child. It's telling you that it's time to grow up. It's telling you that it's time to mature. It's telling you that it's time to grow in the things of God. And, beloved, this is where we're trying to lead you. We're trying to get you to become responsible. Responsible means you have the ability to respond to a given situation. And this is the situation. You must needs be participate fully in your own faith development and deliverance. You have to line your words and your thoughts up with the Word of God. Your thoughts lead you. You see, life is choice-driven. It's not purpose-driven. It's choice-driven. The Bible says, choose you this day who you will serve, whether it's the gods you served before or you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's up to you, beloved. It's your choice. You have to choose to delve into the things of God fully, or else you'll be left sitting on the wayside, just like Jesus gave in the parable. There's some seed that went on the wayside. There's some seed that did not endure persecution. There's some seed that didn't have any root in it, so it only lasted for a little while. But there was other seed that brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So now the choice is yours. Choose well.
Amen. Well, glory to God. That's a message that's really needed today, I'll tell you the truth, because so many people in the world today just really do not understand the reality of who Jesus is. And they think that they're going to get it all together if they will just get to this person or that person. That's not what it's all about. You have to get it together by following Jesus. And Jesus will lead you to the person that he has that can deliver you. And when he leads you to that person, don't just be willful. Stand and go until Jesus leads you someplace else. Because that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people that are so willful. And I'm seeing people that really do not understand that when you come to a ministry that has been there for all of these very many years, and you come to a ministry like that, don't treat it lightly. Be sure to check in with Jesus before you treat a ministry like that lightly. Because Jesus wants you to see the reality of his Spirit. And he wants you to make it. And you can make it. But you got to go down the pathway that he draws, not the pathway that you draw. Because Jesus is Lord, and he loves you. And it's his desire that you be free. It's his desire that you begin to dig yourself out of the hole with him that you've placed yourself into. You see, it took you a lifetime to get in this position that you find yourself, a whole lifetime. And Jesus is saying, it may take a little while. It certainly is going to have to take some teaching. You don't get out of this thing because of your mind or who you know. You get out of this because you know him. And you need to learn how to have a relationship with him. You need to know that he can walk you right out any time of the day, any time of the season. He can set you free. Jesus is God, and he loves you. And he's saying, I can set you free if you'll let me. If you'll humble yourself before the Lord and turn from your wicked ways, he can set you free. You see, really, a relationship with Jesus, it really and truthfully is not, and I repeat this, it's not a religion. It's knowing him by his power. It's knowing him by his might. It's understanding that he's able to set you free. But you have to be obedient. You see, when Mary Magdalene found deliverance, what happened to Mary Magdalene was that she followed him for the rest of her life. She was not out there following anyone but Jesus. Isn't that true? And so that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, follow me, my beloved. Follow me. Follow my ways. Follow my words. And then I can set you free. Don't follow what you think, because you don't know anything. You haven't been in the Word. You have devils that speak into your mind, and you think that these devils are you. They're not you. They're evil spirits that are sent to draw you away from your time and your needs. And your need is Jesus. So I say all of that, that if you want to be free, I can tell you that I've seen thousands of people get set free. Dr. Sabrina can tell you she has seen thousands of people get free, and all they have to do is to desire it, to desire Jesus, because he is the one that is in control of setting the captives free. That's right. So some of you came up for deliverance last week. You got a lot of deliverance, and you need to call and give testimonies about what God's done during this week. You know, the way it happened with me is every little thing that God did or taught me, I would go out and try it. When Richard Vineyard taught me about setting captives free, you know, I went running over to my daddy, and I bound the demons in him. My dad got saved before he died, but it was because of me being obedient. Now we have, I see, Brother Marshall is going to come up. We've got several phone calls already, if I can get Brother Marshall up. So Brother Marshall might want to share a few things. But we've got phone calls. Just keep that in mind. We're trying to encourage them to call. And so, is that you, Brother Marshall?
Good evening, Pat. Yes, it is.
There he is. Yay! Okay. Well, you know, during the week, I got a phone call from one of our ladies, and she got a lot of deliverance, and she gave you a compliment. She said, I really love Brother Marshall. Now, I'm not going to tell your wife. I'm just going to tell you she really loves you, but she loves you spiritually.
Amen.
I'm just making
well,
a joke.
Well, praise the Lord. But you know what? I was thinking, you know, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus, you know? And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Because it's really dangerous. I mean, it does say in the Word, be holy for I am holy. So that's our goal. We're supposed to separate ourselves, like Dr. Sabrina was saying, unto the Lord. We're not supposed to be just, you know, part of the world system anymore.
Yeah.
And we have to be listening to our good shepherd and doing what he wants us to do. And it takes probably a lifetime. You know, I'm just beginning to learn. But you know, Jesus said over in Mark 10, when he said, "Good Master, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God." And Jesus didn't say he wasn't God or that the Father didn't live in him. He didn't say that. He just said, "Why are you calling me good?" So we have to be careful when we call somebody, you know, like the you mentioned about that independent Baptist pastor, and they found out he was into whatever it was, child pornography or something, or whatever it was. But, you know, I've heard stories like that. I've heard stories of people that in there, even there's one man, his wife thought he was a great godly man. And then he died, and they found he had a secret room off his garage, and he'd been a deacon in a Baptist church that seemed like he was the most godly man, and he was in church every time the door was open and praising the Lord and just a wonderful, looked like a wonderful Christian. And after he died, they found all this pornography in a hidden room off the garage. His wife didn't. Nobody knew. So nobody knows the person's heart but the Lord. And our desire, individually, each one of us, is, Jesus, examine my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, because it's a process. And Pat, with all the calls, I only have two verses I want to read. I've been feeling like we should read before we get that. One of them's over in the Old Testament, over in 2 Chronicles. Let's see if I can put my... I thought I had it right here. There it is. 2 Chronicles 17:3, which ties in with James 4:8 amazingly. And it's a story about Jehoshaphat. And the thing that just hit me was just like it explains James 4:8. With James 4:8, I believe, is something like 4:7, 4:8. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And somewhere in there it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you." But our choices to, like Dr. Zabrina was saying, we have to choose this day whom we will serve. We had to choose to draw nigh to God. And there's different approaches, but mostly picking up the King James Bible is a really good place to start. Anyway, in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 17, it says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." So he wasn't going with all the world's devils, you know, the getting the drunk and you know, the temple prostitutes and all that stuff that some of the other kings of, and even the priests of Israel got into. But he was actually seeking the Lord and actually doing what pleased the Lord, at least mostly. He's just a person, too. But that was really an amazing little thing. And something you commented on earlier, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 3:5, and you talk about some of our brothers and sisters that are really on the edge there. Some of them don't out and out blaspheme the Holy Ghost, at least I don't think. Well, maybe some of them do, but some of them just have a hard time believing that God really, Jesus really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He really does set the captives free. He really does open blind eyes. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, talking about these people who were, I'll go back to the verse before that, that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. None of us, of course. Help me, Lord. Help me. We all like to be comfortable, but there's a choice there. But verse 5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So there's some that deny the power of the Lord today, but he's still powerful. He didn't, you know... When he came back to life, when Jesus came back to life, he didn't, you know, forget about, you know, having all power in heaven and earth. His Father gave him all power in heaven and earth. And the Father is keeping us by the power of his name, it says over in John 17:11. Anyway, just those two verses I wanted mostly to emphasize, which is 2 Chronicles 17:3 and 2 Timothy 3:5. We have to be careful about those who deny the power. They might have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And that makes it really hard to find a church where they're not wrapped up in the third wave, or whatever you call it, you know, the people that have the Kundalini spirit mixed in. Because some of those people, they're looking for the power, but they got the wrong power. So help us all, Lord. Deliver us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'll be quiet.
No! He's going to be quiet, Sabrina. Well, you know something, what you have to say about that is really, really important today. Because, you know, people, we have to be choosy. And to be choosy, you always choose the Word, and you always choose Jesus. And then you won't have any problems making decisions. I think that a lot of people choose their denomination like they do their parties. You know, I was born a Democrat. I will die a Democrat. That's what my daddy told me when I became a Republican and ran for the state legislature. But the point is what if the Democrat is wrong? What if the church system that you got into has backslidden? We have to have a mind to make the right choices. And the right choices is if you receive and choose the Word, you're always going to make the right choice. You may have to hurt people by saying, I have to leave because they've grown to like you. But you have to love your soul. And when you leave, those people that see you leave because of principle, maybe the time will come when God will open up their eyes and they'll say, you know something? I believe that brother was right because now I can see some things. So always make the right choices and you'll never go wrong. Let's see who this call is, Brother Marshall.
Okay.
925, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi, it's Sherry.
Hey, Sherry, talk right into the phone.
Hi. I love those books.
Can you hear her, Brother Marshall?
I could initially. The second time I couldn't. It was garbled.
Okay.
How about now?
Go ahead and try again.
Better? How's that?
No, I think you've got a bad connection. Do you mind calling back and I'll look for your number when you call back and see if we can get a better connection?
Okay, I'll call back. Bye-bye.
Okay. That's Sherry. She's going to call back. She got some serious deliverance last week. Even though we were having a lot of problems with the sound, Brother Marshall ministered to Sherry, and she got some deliverance and some word, and so I'm sure she's got a testimony that she's going to give us when she calls back. There she is now. Let me get her up. Well, yeah, there she is. Wait just a minute. Hello.
Hi, it's Sherry.
That's clear.
Okay, good. I don't have it on speaker.
What's going on?
Oh, I just love the third book. I ended up getting Dr. Holliday's three of her books that she had recommended, The Witchcraft and the Deliverance and the Marine Spirits. And what's the other one? Behold the Lamb?
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
Anyway, I went through the first two. And it's very enlightening about the marine spirits. That's pretty, there's some really powerful messages in there, and along with the scripture that really helps somebody to work with Jesus and trying to get set free. And they're really incredible books. I just recommend them to anybody that's listening. They're incredible. I don't know what else I can say. And I thank you guys for last week and this week for the deliverance. I'm feeling a little bit stronger, and I'm really grateful for the work that you guys are doing and what Jesus is doing. And there's a good hope. So I'm really grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I believe that Marshall ministered to you because we were having a lot of problems last week with the sound on the computer. And Marshall just practically had to take over the show just to keep us up on air, and we appreciate it so much. But he's the one that ministered to you, And Sabrina and I were over here trying to figure out what to do with the to keep us all on the air. So you want to talk to Marshall?
Whoever feels that they, you know, that you wanted to do prayer, it's fine. Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, Marshall. Go ahead and ask Marshall what you needed for prayer for tonight.
Is there something you're looking for, Sherry?
There's still just a lot of what feels like bondage. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it just feels like, you know, netting and webs or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry,
you know, when you read the book, The Bridegroom and the Bride, I'll let Marshall finish this, but when you read that book, The Bridegroom and the Bride, it's got so much scripture in there concerning the person's relationship with Jesus and his promises to the body of Christ that
right.
is going to build you up in your faith in him because he's a supernatural God. And that book reflects him as the God of the universe. So I can't wait for you to read that because you're really going to enjoy it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I read it last night, and then I spent a couple of hours on it this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. And
oh,
I was like, yeah.
The... I can look at some other things in it. It's a book. A lot of my books, you just don't read them. You have to read them, and then you go back and you study them because I just pack them full of the Word of God on whatever subject I'm writing on. So Marshall is here to pray for you. Go ahead, Marshall.
Thank you.
Help us, Father. I think what we all need, Sherry, and it isn't just you, it's all of us. I mean, Pat probably already is super blessed, but we all could use some more. So I'm going to pray for you according to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 1, starting verse 17. Because of the blood of the covenant, Father, we come joyful and boldly before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you, over in John 16:23. So we're asking you, Father God, in Jesus' name, because of the blood of the covenant, not just for Sherry, but for each one that's listening and will be listening that have even the least bit of a hunger and a thirst for more of you, Lord Jesus, more of your righteousness. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Sherry, will give to you and each of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that is, of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, come in the flesh, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you and all of us will know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe in his blood covenant, believe in his name, believe in his incorruptible word, according to the work of his mighty power, not our power, his mighty power, Father God's mighty power through the word of God by his blood, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and how he hath put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, the entire body of Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Jesus' name, I ask you this, Father, for Sherry and for each one of us, and give us all that hunger and a thirst for righteousness that we might be filled overflowing with you, Lord Jesus Christ, in us, the hope of glory. Help us to be like little children that just do what you tell us to do, even when our minds say, well, that's too simple, or how could that help, or, you know, but my PhD minister told me I need to you know, write 10 doctoral dissertations to, but help us to be like little children. Just do what you tell us to do, Lord, and hear your voice, because you said, my sheep hear my voice. So help us to be a little meh, to hear your voice and follow after you, and you keep our little fuzziness safe. You keep us safe from the big bad wolf, and you do, because it says in your word, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And we thank you for it. That's over in Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. That's a really good place, Sherry, for all of us to be. So, Father, give us all that place, a holy reverence for you, Lord. Not a, you know, scared that you're going to just smack us across the backside or something. But sometimes you do chasten your children, and I thank you for that. I don't always enjoy it at the time, but it does work a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And I think that's somewhere over in Hebrews chapter 12. It's a good thing to let the Lord chasten us. So, Sherry, I just want to give you a little simple encouragement that there's something really, really, really powerful about doing the simple things, about fixing our eyes on Jesus. And yes, that's reading the Word, but there's another aspect to it. Because Jesus came in the flesh, he knew that we wanted to look to him. It said that the people that were friends of Paul when he was going to Jerusalem, they were saddened they wouldn't see his face anymore. But the Lord tells us we're supposed to seek his face. We're supposed to seek his strength, seek his face continually. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, we're supposed to seek his strength, not our strength, and his face. And here's something to, maybe this will encourage you to spend a little time doing communion. And I know it's better to do it, you know, with at least one other person, but I heard about people that were physically healed when they had communion all by themselves in Jesus. So, if you're the priest of your temple, that temple of the Holy Ghost that you are, then nobody has more power over that physical body than you and Jesus. You with Jesus in you. No one has more power. And take, you know, we can choose to pursue him, and that's a really good way to do it. And I just want to tell you that when I found out that it says Jesus over in 1 Corinthians 15, around verse 45, says Jesus is the second Adam or the last Adam or whatever, and the word Adam means ruddy face or blood in the face. So there's something important about communion that says in Genesis, back in the first book in the Bible, Genesis 49:12, his eyes are red with wine. The eyes are the most important part of the face. Okay, so there's something about the wine, about the, you know, there's a whole lifetime of getting to know Jesus, and he will protect you because of that blood of the covenant. It's an absolute guarantee from the Lord, and it's the only thing that cleans us up is his blood and doing it his way, not a ritual, but pursuing him with all your heart. And when you do that, and yes, these books that you recommended are probably, especially if the Holy Ghost wrote them through Pat, awesome and very helpful to understand. We need to understand our enemy so we can, you know, how to overcome him. And the thing that the Lord is teaching me, some just so simple things. Just yesterday, I guess it was, I was reading Psalm 8. And, you know, Jesus quoted that, and at least part of it. And he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Well, if he did that for babies and those who, you know, are just, you know, on the milk, you know, because of the enemies, well, the enemies, they're spiritual enemies, that it says that thou mightest still the enemy and the avengers. This is for you, Sherry. This is Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemy, because of your enemies, all those nasty spirits that want to kill, steal, and destroy, that thou, Sherry, and each one of us who are believers, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. we can still the enemy and the avenger. Pat was saying that we can do, because I was quickly writing it down over there in Matthew 12, 25 to 29, we can bind the strong man. First, bind the strong man, that we can do what he did. And it says we can in John 14. So you can do it too, you know. And it's because of the blood of the covenant. So if you press in to get to know him, and this man who studied communion for 25 years and different people got a clue, and if you read the latter parts, after Pat's favorite part in Acts 2, 38 and 39, you go down a little lower in that same chapter in Acts 2, I think it's verse 40-something, it says that they had communion. They broke bread daily from house to house. I think it's verse 46 or somewhere. I didn't turn to it right now, but they did it daily. When breaking of bread talks about communion. So there's something, and it says that when those two men were on the road to Emmaus, when he broke the bread, that they knew him. Their eyes were opened. We need to have our eyes opened to know him. And it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, his mouth is most sweet. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. When he's more lovely than anything else, because, you know, grape juice is very, very sweet. It's the sweetest juice. There's twice as sweet as orange juice, okay? It just has more naturally occurring fructose. But if you have wine, there's the bitterness, because Jesus took our bitterness for us. There's so many different things the Holy Ghost wants to teach each of us. But it's available, and it's I know it's just so simple. Mm-hmm. But he's showing me his face. He's showing me an intimacy. And yes, I don't see eyeballs looking at me through the grape juice or the wine or whatever. But when the Lord was looking through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of the fire on the Egyptians, and he took off the chariot wheels, it said that the Egyptians were terrified because the Lord was fighting on behalf of his people against the human people that had the nasty spirits in them. And the Lord really loves all human beings. He doesn't hate Egyptians. I mean, they're Coptic Christians that love the Lord. He loves everybody who loves Jesus. But if people are serving the enemy, they make themselves an enemy of the Lord. And that's what happened to Pharaoh. He served Satan in his kingdom, and he made himself an enemy. And the Lord showed his name very powerfully in that whole encounter, and that's written in the New Testament and the Old Testament. He declared his name when that blood was put on the lintel and post. And when you have that blood on your lips, that is an absolute guarantee, because he says over in Exodus 12:13, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So we might be living in the middle of nasty things, and we used to be part of it. I used to, anyway. Maybe you weren't. But I've been, you know, I served the enemy in my own way. I didn't know I was. I was clueless. And I'm just beginning to catch on. But anyway, oh, and I just have a quick thought. And this is, read Matthew 16. And it tells us where, and this is not just for you, Sherry, but for each one of us, it tells us where we get our thoughts from. We get them from three places. And Pat was talking about this. We get our own thoughts. We can get a download from the Holy Ghost, from Father God speaking to us. Mm-hmm. You know, this when Peter said, you know, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Or when just before Jesus said, get thee behind me, Peter, which is just a couple verses later in the same chapter in Matthew 16, he was hearing from the dark side, from the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful. And speaking 2 Corinthians chapter 10 out loud, especially after having communion or while having communion, is really powerful. You command all thoughts to be captive and subject to the complete obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You pull down every spirit of vain imagination, because we get imaginations that are not our thoughts. Because the enemy speaks to us through the theta brainwaves, the same way the Holy Ghost or the Father God does, okay? And sometimes the enemy makes his voice to sound, he comes as an angel of light, to sound like he's God, because he wants to be God. Anyway, that's But he's going to perform his word, and we thank you, Father, for doing so. We thank you for giving us a fresh spirit of wisdom and revelation, especially for Sherry, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving each of us that hunger and a thirst for righteousness that we might be filled in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm fasting, and I'm just drinking grape juice, and then I've been doing the communion since I think, well, I've been doing it quite a bit over the last couple of months, but since you mentioned it last week, I've been trying to at least do it every other day.
Yeah, it's an amazing protection. If you have communion and you recite Psalm 91 out loud, and his angels are sitting there waiting to hearken unto the voice of the word of the Lord to perform it. So, you know, there's Psalm 91, Psalm 103 is wonderful to read after communion, the first part and the last part, but all of it's good. And Hebrews chapter 1, it says his angels are ministering spirits, hearkening unto the voice of the word of the Lord. You know, they minister unto the heirs of salvation, excuse me. It's the end of Psalm 103 that talks about that they're listening. They want to perform not Marshall's word, you know, not Sherry's word, but the word of the living God. And he is alive, and he's really big. He is really, really big. This is just a quick aside. My grandson had me look at this thing about the power of 10 on the computer just for a minute, and it takes, it shows something magnified every 2 seconds or whatever it is, starting with somebody on a beach in Chicago and going out into the galaxies and then going back down and then going into the subatomic particles. And, you know, he knows everything. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Mm-hmm. He knows what I'm thinking every moment. He loves me anyway. It's amazing. He is an awesome God, and he knows everything that all the 7 billion people on the planet are thinking simultaneously. He's God. His ways are not like our ways. His ways are way above our ways. And yet he uses, like Psalm 8 says, the little child he gives tremendous power to, because he gave us dominion on this earth. And of course the people in the witchcraft are using that. They know the human beings have power on the earth, but we need to know that with the Holy Ghost in us, with Christ in us by his word and his spirit, that the enemy can't touch us when we're doing things his way. The Lord gave me a verse I wanted to give you. You were talking about feeling like you're in a net. And this is for those who get the secret of his covenant. This is in Psalm 25. I'll just read you two verses, verse 14 and 15. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Who's going to pluck your feet out of the net? He will.
The Lord.
He will. Why? Because you're keeping your eyes ever toward the Lord. You don't want to be spending too much time focusing on the nasty things, because there's lots of nasty things going on. And the devil loves to do that. He loves to get us distracted or try to get us to slide back into that spirit of fear we used to have. But you know, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we need to keep our eyes, heavenward instead of looking down all the time, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, and
well, Sherry,
and
do you have any other prayer requests? Because we have another caller.
I'm good. Yeah, thank you. Unless you want to see if there's anything to bind off. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, you said that you still felt some bondages, and so we just say in the name of Jesus, every bondage line is broken, and we command the devil to loose your mind, body, and spirit, and we ask the Lord to send and surround you with warring angels.
Thank you, Lord, to protect you
and Jesus to totally deliver you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Perfect,
thank you, Lord.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind in Jesus' name.
God bless everyone. Thank you for your wonderful show, you guys.
Call us back Friday.
I will. Thank you. God bless you guys. Bye bye.
Okay, that is so good. 7
701 is 701.
Hello?
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 Yes.
Hi, this is Priscilla. I called you about a month ago, and I got some deliverance, and I had always been praying, and I continue to pray, and I got some deliverance. But what has been happening? Maybe once or twice a week since I talked to you, I would wake up like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would be nauseated, and I would vomit. It would start. It would last about a couple of hours, and in the end, I would end up vomiting. And I've been praying and going and doing warfare with it, and I haven't in the last week or so. I don't feel like it's. I feel like it's spiritual, opposed to
praying. If you've been doing a lot of praying and warfare for yourself,
mm-hmm.
you could be getting rid of some spirits.
Yeah, that was kind of the impression I got, and I just kind of wanted you to confirm it for me because that's the way I felt, that
uh-huh.
I was just getting rid of spirits. You know, the Holy Spirit were just working with me, and just because one of my prayers had been, you know, just let the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, just go out through my body and permeate and remove anything that is unrighteous and unclean in Jesus' name. And so that has been one of my prayers, and It always happened about once or twice a week, you know, but it hasn't happened this week. But I just wanted you to confirm that for me, so thank you very much.
Well, you know, if it's been a month since you talked to us, you need to be calling more often.
Well, I agree with you, I should be, but in the last week or so, I've been traveling across country, so I miss you Wednesday. And Friday, my phone ran out of battery because I was on the road. But no, I agree with you. I have been praying for you and your ministry, and I want to continue to call in and listen to you. I have learned a lot. I just feel like God led me to you because I listened to you first with Dr. With Bishop Kanko?
Yeah.
That's how I ran across you because I was on YouTube,
yeah.
And I was having all these problems, and I was trying to find some answers. And I always ask God, you know, to just lead me, you know, because we have to understand that, at least for me, I have come to realize that whatever we ask God for, He gives it to us if we are trying or even attempting to try to walk according to His will. If we have a desire to do His will through His word, He will hear us and He will help us. And He has proven that to me time and time again. So I would even encourage anyone that is listening, you know, if you're going through something, just be encouraged because God is there and He does listen to His children.
Sister, this is Dr. Sabrina.
Hi, Dr. Sabrina. How are you?
I'm fine. Job 20:15.
Uh-huh.
Confirms what you need to know.
Okay, I will.
Job 20:15.
Let me write that down. Job 20:15?
15.
Okay, chapter 20, verse 15. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, we've got a lot of new books up on Amazon. So you can go up since you travel. You'd probably need to read some of them. But
go ahead.
It's Kindles. You know, we got Kindle books. And
yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's amzn.to/13mjyin. And you'll see a whole, I think we got 26 or 28 up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll help you when you travel, because when you're in those hotel rooms, it ain't fun.
No, we were in, my daughter goes to school in Florida, and we were just down there for the year, so we come back to the north for the summer. But another question I wanted to ask you, you know, now that I've become more aware of water spirits, I live by a river. Is there anything in prayer that I need to be addressing?
Well, you know,
as far as,
I just wrote I just wrote two new books on the water spirits up on Amazon. Spirits live in lakes. They live in rivers. Anywhere where there's water, streams, oceans. Mm-hmm. And when you live by the river, you can know that there's water spirits there. Mm-hmm. And you know there's spirits everywhere.
Yes.
Demons live all over the place. And so the Christians' night protections are, when they say their nightly prayers, is to ask the Holy Spirit to put the wall of fire around them so
Amen.
That the spirits can't come through the fire. And cover yourself mm-hmm. with the blood of Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to send the warring angels to surround your home. And
Amen.
Then you should be pretty well protected by doing that. And so that's what I would suggest you to do.
Amen, amen. I agree with you. And what you suggested is what I've been doing. And prior to, I've gotten some relief this month, but prior to, before calling you, it would seem like that's all I did was just in spiritual warfare, just for myself. But sometimes, when we were praying in spiritual warfare, at least for me, I wasn't even aware that I was praying in error. You know, sometimes when we start praying in warfare, you know, even when we're just babes, you know, God teaches us. But, you know, thank you, Lord, for grace, because, you know, we do a lot of things that we don't know are wrong,
yeah.
and pray a lot
yeah,
of things in
true.
Error that we don't know. So I've just been learning. But this month, it haven't been, you know, I've been able to pray for other people. I haven't spent so much time of my prayer time in prayer just trying to keep the warfare off me. I've been able to pray and intercede for other people. So that's helped me a lot.
Well, you know, one of the things that the church needs very desperately today is they need prayer intercessors. We
Amen.
Need prayer trained. Intercessors trained.
Amen.
They need, and we have information both on MiracleInternetChurch.com and on Blog Talk and up on the Amazon and all over the place. But here's
mm-hmm.
the thing. Americans are not real spiritually oriented people. And
no.
so they've been trained to pray, you know, these little nicey-nicey prayers. But
yeah.
what we don't realize is, as I was saying earlier about the water spirits are ruling the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in charge of really the top echelon rulers of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Many of your world rulers are in deep, deep witchcraft, satanic worship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to believe that about the American leaders, but it's true.
No. Yeah.
They go out to the Bohemian Grove in July and other places around the world, and they go into the groves and they openly worship a big 40-foot owl called Moloch.
Mm.
Interesting stuff. In the recent book that I wrote on the water spirits, I talked about Benjamin Franklin. He was a member of the Hell's Fire Club, and he
mm-hmm.
would go over to England, and just recently they discovered bodies buried in the house that he used to go and stay in when he was in England. And there's no one more respected than Benjamin Franklin. But
mm-hmm.
the point that I'm getting at is, as Marshall mentioned earlier, you know, God looks at the person's heart, and we
yes.
look at the person from the outside. And unless
mm-hmm.
you're a deliverance ministry with the discerning of spirits and God opened your eyes to see something, you see
mm-hmm.
the picture that the person is projecting for you to see. And
mm-hmm.
so our country and our churches are in a very desperate state. And
yes.
we need to lift those things up every day in our prayer. Otherwise, America will pretty soon drop into tyranny and into communism. So it's a very important thing to see that when we pray, if you've had problems with spirits attacking you, then everybody in your family is under the same type of spirits. And they might not be able to express it as you've been able to, but they are. They may express it in, oh, I've got a migraine headache, or oh, my stomach hurts, or I haven't been able to sleep for a week. Well, see, these things can be tormenting spirits. And so as you pray for yourself, always lift up your family and bind those spirits in them, too. And, you know, another thing, start inviting people that you know to Blog Talk Radio.
Every
one of us know people that need help. And this is a place where they can find some help. So take advantage of it while God has it going. Because we're here not for ourselves. It's not one of us that have any need to be here except God's called us here. As Marshall says, he gives God all the glory and not to lift him up. Well, we say the same thing because we're here because God needs, and God knows that some of his people that will hear his voice will come and they'll find things that they need and they can be set free. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God is good all the time, and we want to mention to I think I lost Marshall. Let's see if I got him back. Let me see. Did I get you back, Marshall?
I didn't know I was away. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me get this other number. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Call us Friday.
I will. Bye-bye.
Lord continue to bless you and keep you, Priscilla.
Thank you so much, Marshall. Thank you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Marshall, speaking of communion, Sabrina says it's time for us to have communion again.
What, next time or when?
You name the time and we'll go with it.
Well, it's up to you. You want to do it next week this time?
Yeah, we can do it next Friday or next Wednesday, or hey, we could do it this Friday.
That's fine if that's what you'd like.
Okay, let's plan on doing communion this Friday.
Okay.
And we do have a call, but before we take the call, I don't think I've given the number out. It's 805-292-0300. And we have a call from 910. Wait a minute. 910, you're on the air.
Hi, I am calling for prayer.
Okay.
I've been in a situation that I've been seeking deliverance from tormenting spirit to double-mindedness, and there's also some demons attacking me sexually, and it's a whole lot.
Let me ask you something. Where are you from?
I'm from Nigeria.
Okay. And how long have these demons been attacking you?
Since
I'm talking about the sexual ones.
Since 2010.
Since when?
2010.
Okay, now, before they started attacking you, did you do something? Did you have any kind of affair with men? What happened?
Well, that didn't happen during that time. I did have an affair, but that didn't happen during the affair. Okay. It this happened way after that because I had stopped seeing the person and I had that I have not been having an affair, but this just happened. And
yeah.
Where I've been going from church to church, they say it's witchcraft and all that, and I've been praying. I've been trying to do self-deliverance, but mm-hmm. I've not been able.
Well, you know something? Have you been letting people lay hands on you?
Yes.
Well, you see, sometimes when you go into churches, the churches across the country have been, some of them, very deeply infiltrated with wizards and witches and things like that. Many of your Africans, many of your foreign ministers from other countries like China and places like that, that have heavy-duty witchcraft in the country itself, many ministers come over to America and they bring a mixture with them. And so you have to be very prayerful about who you let lay hands on you. The Bible says lay hands on no one suddenly. But you see, the reason is this transference of spirits. And so you have to live a protected life with you and your blood covering of Jesus. You don't let anybody pray for you unless you ask Jesus first. And Jesus is able to take care of his people. If you pray, God will open up your eyes to see. You don't have to really have us to tell you that because God wants to be your teacher. So when you go into a fellowship, watch it, listen to the messages. Ask the Lord to show you if they're in error. And listen, don't go and participate until you check the ministry to make sure that it's a real ministry. So you could have gone into one of these churches where an infiltrator was and let that infiltrator lay their hands on you and receive that sexual spirit. So when I was asking you those questions, I'm trying to figure out where did it come from. Because you are evidently a Christian, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you a born-again Christian?
Yes.
Now, what do you mean when you say you're a born-again Christian? How did you become a Christian?
Well, I became a Christian like when I was 16. I mean, I have watched my parents pray and all of that, but I have given my life to Christ, and that's it.
And you ask him to forgive you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that would bring you into being a Christian. So when you're a Christian, God puts protection over you. Unless you openly sin, and sometimes you can pick up spirits if you go where spirits are operating. So that's what I'm trying to get across to you, is demons have to obey the name of Jesus, and we're going to bind the spirits, and we're going to command them to leave in the name of Jesus, and they have to obey, right? And then I want you to be very prayerful about where you go to fellowship, whether or not you're supposed to go fellowship, and who lays hands on you, because it's a very dangerous world spiritually because the devil is trying to infiltrate. And then brother will give you a word, okay?
Okay.
Say, Father.
Father.
I'm a born-again Christian.
I'm a born-again Christian.
I ask Jesus Christ.
I ask Jesus Christ.
Today to deliver me.
Today to deliver me.
From every devil.
From every devil.
From all the ancestral spirits.
From all the ancestral spirits.
That have come into me down my family line.
That have come into me down my family line.
10 generations back.
10 generations back.
10 generations forward.
10 generations forward.
I am a Christian.
I am a Christian.
And you will transfer me.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Say transfer me.
And you will transfer me.
From the devil's kingdom into your kingdom.
From the devil's kingdom into your kingdom.
And that means that I can get the blessings of Abraham.
And that means I can get the blessings of Abraham.
Because Jesus hung on the tree for me.
Because Jesus hung on the tree for me.
And all of the familiar spirits.
And all of the familiar spirits.
Coming down my family line.
Coming down my family line.
I break your powers over me.
I break your powers over me.
I break all dedications.
I break all dedications.
To water spirits.
To water spirits.
As a child.
To what?
As a child.
As a child.
This is in case somebody has ever dedicated you, okay? From your family line. I'm praying against anything that's coming down from your family line.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? And say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This water spirit that's coming into my bedroom.
This water spirit that's coming into my bedroom.
And assaulting me.
And assaulting me.
You have no power over me.
You have no power over me.
And I command you to be bound.
And I command you to be bound.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind all of the necromancy spirits.
I bind all of the necromancy spirits.
I bind witchcraft wizardry spirits.
I bind witchcraft wizardry spirits.
And every devil coming down from my family line.
And every devil coming down from my family line.
And I command you to set me free.
And I command you to set me free.
I command those spirits to leave me instantly and immediately.
I command those spirits to leave me instantly and immediately.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now just take a deep breath and cough them out. Come up and out. Everyone. I bind the spirit in the rooms, all of the demons around the house. And I command every one of them to go into the cage in the name of Jesus.
Points of contact.
All points of contact. All, any church, any wizard that has laid his hands on you.
Idols.
Do you have any idols in your home?
No, I don't.
No African stuff from masks and things like that? Huh?
No.
Okay, that's good. In the name of Jesus. And I bind the water witches right now. Now, are you connected with people from Nigeria?
Yes.
Okay, are you connected with your family?
Yes, I actually live with them.
You live with your family here or in Nigeria?
Here.
Okay. And you're connected with people from Nigeria?
Yes.
Now, do you know whether or not they're Christians?
Well, my family, I believe they are, but I believe they are, but I don't know anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't know. You don't know everybody that you're connected to, whether they are or not. What I'm getting at is, do you know if any of them are in witchcraft?
Well, as of 2010, 11, 12, my family were behaving cool. It was, like, really different. There were certain things that were being said, and it seemed like witchcraft to me. But I don't know, because it never happened to me while I was in Nigeria, but I've been in the States since 2004, and this problem began 2010, and when the churches here said it's witchcraft, and...
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I want you to do is you say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I renounce.
I renounce.
All witchcraft power over me.
All witchcraft power over me.
I ask you, God.
I ask you, God.
To bind those devils.
To bind those devils.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I break the, and now I'm just going to talk and you start coughing. I break the garlands. I break the chains. I break the feathers. I break the power of the Antichrist. I command every devil, every heresy spirit, every devil in the name of Jesus, every false prophet, everything, the Kundalini spirit, I break you, I bind you in the spine. I command that head to be cut off. I bind up the Leviathan spirit over the head. I cut those seven heads off. I command them to go. And come out right now. Come out of the mind. Come out of the spine. I break the python spirit around your chest. I cut its head off. I command it to go. I cut its tail off. I command it to come up and out. Everyone, all. I bind the spirit of idolatry coming down 10 generations back, 10 generations forward. Come out. In the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. Come on, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Every occult spirit that's been released, I command those things to go. I bind up religious spirits and I command those to go. All of the devils that have messed with your psychic mind, your subconscious mind, I command those to go in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, this man that you dated, did he ever give you anything like a ring? Or?
Yes, he gave me a ring, and I gave it back to him.
He gave it back. That's good. Okay. We bind all of the Nigerian prayers of people from Nigeria sending demons to you in the name of Jesus, and we break those powers. We break the power of the ring. Lord, you know a ring is an eternal symbol. And when a man gives you the ring, he's giving you an eternal symbol. And we break the ring and the power of the ring. We break the power over her mind of the fragmented mind. And we command her mind to be set free right now. All of those shattered pieces that came through trauma, I break it right now and from sex. And I command those pieces to be healed in her mind, and every devil that has filled them to come out right now. Come out. Come out of her subconscious mind. And you spirit of fear, you will leave too. Come out. Let me hear them out. Come out. Get into that cage. Get into the cage. In Jesus' name. Did you ever go to a fortune teller or a psychic or something like that?
Me? I've never been to a fortune teller.
That's good. You never went to a wizard or someone that, huh?
Horoscopes.
Well, I checked the horoscopes. I used to check it at the back of the magazines and all that, but I wasn't really, I guess to check it for fun, I wasn't really into that.
Well, the devil does play games, and he puts them there, but it's not for fun. It's to really send a spirit of divination across your pathway, and that spirit of divination will become what we call a familiar spirit. And it's a spirit that, though you read it for fun, it's so generally written usually that it could fit anyone. And so when you read it, you say, oh, that just happened to me yesterday. And you believe it, although you're doing it for fun. So I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I repent.
I repent.
From going after other gods.
From going after other gods.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And I ask you to forgive me.
For looking at the horoscope.
For looking at the horoscope.
I bind the spirit of stargazers, zodiac, horoscopes, according to Isaiah 47:13. Jeremiah 10:2, and Leviticus 19:26. Now come out. I bind the hypnotic trances in Jesus' name. All enchanting spirits, come out. Spirits of rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus. And Father, the people that write those things are witches, warlocks, and sorcerers. And we bind those spirits. Come out. Take a deep cough and cough them out. Come out. I bind the spirit of soothsaying according to Micah 5:12. I come against every psychic power, second sight, every subconscious power. I come against mental control over my life. I come against false prophecies. In Jesus' name, I bind the fetishes and runes and amulets, talisman, mascots, medals, every devil, spell, incantation, sign, materialization or apport, that spirit that comes into your room at night, we cut its silver cord, we forbid it to ever return, and it come out right now, come out. Poetry guys, come out. All magic spirits, come out. All spiritualism, psychic spirits, every devil, come out. The blood is against you. All books, literature, music, dealing with the occult, I bind you. Every devil that has come into this body that has no reason to be there, because she has repented, I command you to go. Right now, come up and out. All family idolatry, records, tapes, rock and roll records, every idolatrous thing, come out in the name of Jesus. We break the power of witchcraft and the occult over her mind. All inanimate objects, come out. We command every spirit that came from these occult activities to go instantly, immediately, right now, in the name of Jesus. Every spirit named, every spirit not named, come out in the name of Jesus. She cannot drink at the table of the Lord and the cup of the devils at the same time. And we command those devils to go instantly, because you said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. thou shalt not bow thyself, who them nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity to the father upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Deuteronomy 5:7-9. Now, do you have any children?
No.
How old are you?
I'll be 29 this year.
Are you looking for a husband?
Well, yes. I'm still
okay.
Going to school.
Well, see, that spirit that comes into your room at nighttime, they're called spiritual husbands. And it's coming in there trying to become your spiritual husband. Mm-hmm. And its name is Asmodeus. And so we're going to break the power of that. And you're going to get rid of that into the cage. And we're going to pray that God will send your husband to you.
And everybody else that's listening.
And everybody else that's listening, you can get deliverance from this too. Now, listen, don't go looking for a man. The Bible says, he who findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. So the man is supposed to find you. And he's supposed to pursue you. So we're going to ask Jesus to loose that man that he has for you. Okay?
Okay.
Now, you spirit of Asmodeus, Abaddon, Apollyon, Beelzebub, all of the demons that are connected to these, we bind you up. We bind the spiritual husband. We bind any witch wizard that is sending that spirit to you, and we cut you free from them in Jesus' name. And we command
Amen.
Those spirits to come up and out immediately. In Jesus' name, we purify her womb. We purify her sex life with the blood of Jesus. And you have no way to hang on. Come out. Come out. Take a deep cough and cough it out. Loose. Loose. Come out. You have no rights to enter into her bedroom. We protect her bed and her bedroom with warring angels to come and surround her bed at night, linking angels that she cannot receive any other thing, any other spirit, in Jesus' name. Now just cough them all out, everyone. Nothing to stay. Now what I want you to do is say, Lord Jesus, fill me with the fire of your Holy Ghost.
Fill me with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Now take a deep breath and let the Holy Ghost come in. Holy Ghost, come in. She's invited you in. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the baptizer. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all of the spirits that are hiding in there, I ask the Holy Ghost to burn them out instantly and immediately now. Take a deep cough and cough all of them out. In Jesus' name, everything hiding out. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Nothing can stay. All of the hooks, all of the tails, everything anchoring anything in her body is broken. All of the blockages are crashed by our battle axe called Jesus Christ. Come out. Loose. Immediately. And instantly. Now take another deep breath and let the Holy Spirit fill all of those empty places, including those empty places up in your mind, your fragmented mind, to become one mind, single-minded, from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Now,
Amen.
I want you to praise Him and ask Him to give you your prayer language.
Okay.
They praise you, Jesus. Give me my prayer language.
For your mercy, give me your prayer language, which I have to bless your holy name. And in the name of Jesus Christ, please help me and listen to my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask Brother Marshall to tie this up and minister to you with some word and a blessing. Brother Marshall.
Sister?
Yes.
Yes. If you have something to write a few things down, it might help you later. I know Pat's given you some verses that they were flying out quickly there. I don't always get what she has. I need to re-listen to this. But you need to be really aware, and I don't know which Bible version you read, but I would strongly suggest the King James.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I have the NIV, the Women's Bible.
Right. It's not going to build up your faith, and that's how we overcome the enemy, is by our faith, and our faith has to be in his word, in his blood, in his name, and you need to increase your faith. When you pray in a Holy Ghost language, it helps build up your faith. It says that in that little book just before Revelation, Jude, verse 20. So that's good. But you need to get the real word. And I wasted about 15 years in the NIV, and I didn't know that it was corrupt. It's not the real word of God. Okay? I was shocked when I found this out. I mean, I spent many hours, many years reading the NIV. I have a NIV study Bible as well as a regular one, and the pages in the regular one were just falling apart. I spent so much time in it, but I didn't know it was twisted and wrong. There's a lot of powerful things that are left out of it. There's whole chunks of scripture. It's got 80,000 errors compared to the original manuscript, and it was taken from a different one. And if you don't believe me, there's a group, what's it called? I forget what it's called. But anyway, there's a man from Australia that did a detailed study comparing the NIV with the King James. And he pointed out that the people that actually put the NIV together did it under the auspices of witchcraft. Okay? Huh. I mean, they were serving the enemy at a very high level. So it's, anyway, I just strongly encourage you to get the King James Bible, pray to the Father in Jesus' name that he'll give you understanding by his Spirit, and he will, you know. And I know that some of the language is not what we're used to. In fact, when they wrote it in 1611, they brought stuff back they had not been using for 200 or 300 years because they wanted to make the translation more accurate, so you know whether the you is plural or singular. In the United States, the people down south say y'all, meaning for plural you, and so that's why they have ye in the King James. So it's helpful in a few verses to know whether it's plural or singular, but there's a lot more to it than that, because in those corrupted versions, and you can go on the computer and just type in NIV, you know, corrupt or counterfeit translation, and you'll find stuff. But anyway, that's number one. And then I want to give you a couple verses. And sister, when you accepted the Lord when you were 16... You probably did it with all good intentions, but maybe you didn't know that he expects us to continue following him, okay? And that's something that I didn't really know either, that it's really, really important. And what you just went through means a lot of garbage probably left you, and it says in the Word that if the enemy comes back, let's give you an example. Let's say you have... had a cockroach or a rat or something in your kitchen, and you don't want it, and you get rid of it, right? But
yes.
if you get it all cleaned up, but if you don't keep, if you leave and you go away and you're not there to protect your kitchen and keep it full, you know, with you're sitting there with your, you know, with your rat trap or your poison or whatever to get rid of the nasty things, poison for them, not for you, that they might want to get back in your kitchen. And it's the same thing with the demons. You've had a lot of stuff cast out of you, and you need to stay present and accounted for with the Holy Ghost, with Jesus right there with you, and keep your temple of the Holy Spirit filled, filled with the real Word of God, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, so they won't get back. And I want to warn you, there's a verse I want to give you here, and it's in Luke 11:26. It says, when the enemy's cast out, then he goes, and he takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's if you don't stay full of Jesus. So this is not a game. I've seen people do this. I've seen people get just a few little spirits cast out of them, and maybe you've had some that aren't so little that have been annoying you and tormenting you. But once you get them out, you need to really stay close to the Lord. You need to do things His way, not your old way. This is repentance means not just I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar and my mommy told me not to have cookie before dinner, and the cookie's not a bad thing per se, but if God says don't have sex out of wedlock because it brings in nasty spirits, He's warning you. And there's a reason for that. And there's some Christians I know, young people, they don't know these words are for real. I'm going to read you one over here in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it says, I'll just start in verse 6. I'm not saying anybody here is a harlot. I'm just saying that this is how God sees it. What, know you not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, become one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man or woman, any human being does, is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? See, that's something I didn't know for decades. I'm not my own. I have to belong to Jesus, okay? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He doesn't just purchase your spirit with his blood. He purchases your body, too. And that's something a lot of Christians don't seem to know today, that we can't do the Sex and the City thing and belong to Jesus, okay? So that's a little warning, and it involves what movies you watch and that kind of thing. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So instead of looking at things that build up Satan, and Satan, you know, like John 10:10, Jesus said, Satan, the enemy, came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He loves all of us made in his image. He loves you passionately, much more than any human being could. I mean, he gave his life for you. You know, I mean, there are not many men that would even put their coat on a puddle for you to walk across it, okay, let alone lay their own lives down for you. But that's what Jesus did. He shows you how much he loves you by pouring out his blood for you, okay? And then there's some scriptures here. You might want to get the King James and read Romans chapter 6. It's very challenging. Even people who have been walking with the Lord for decades, it's very challenging. In verse 13 of Romans 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, and that's any kind of sin. Sin isn't just sexual sin. Sin is speaking evil of someone. Sin is scorning, is getting a haughty attitude. Well, I know better. You know, I've got it all together. No, we were just talking earlier. We don't know. God's the one who knows. And his ways are higher than our ways, right? So there's that pride thing. But anyway, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You know, sister, there's a lot of people that are saved by grace, but they don't know they need to stay under grace. It's like a big umbrella to protect us from the enemy, or more like a shield. But if you step out from that protection of that shield, the enemy likes to beat up on Christians especially. So I really encourage you to ask to be refilled with the Holy Ghost frequently, as the Spirit reminds you, And he will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. Because, and you can look up those scriptures in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 and 15. It talks about what the Holy Ghost came to do. In the Epistle of John, chapter 2, you know, that the Holy Ghost comes to remind us of what Jesus has said. He's going to teach us. He's going to guide us into all truth. So you ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. He will give you another prayer language if you want it. But then you need to use it, and that helps build up your faith. And it also says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you need to hear the Word of God out loud. Usually, Dr. Pat Holliday will recommend to people that they get the King James Bible, you know, download it from the computer or get it by CDs or however you want to get it, but put it on some form that you can listen to it, whether it's on an iPod or something, but listen to it on MP3 player or something, but listen to the Word of God, or just pick up a Bible and read it to yourself out loud. Because there's a lot of people, I'd say, I'd love to hear what Jesus wants to tell me. Well, these are his words, especially when you get the ones in red letters that says, I've loved you with an, or, well, that's in the Old Testament, but it's still his word. I loved you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It says, I have plans for your peace and not for evil. That's his plans for you, his plans for your peace. And, you know, he made peace by the blood of his cross, it says in Colossians 1:20, because he was pierced for you and me and Dr. Pat and Dr. Sabrina. He was pierced for us, so we don't have to be pierced by tormenting spirits, okay, or even physical illnesses, etc. And you're a young lady, and you may not think you are, but you are a young lady, and he wants the best for you, and he wants you to walk very closely with him. Because he'll talk to you. You'll hear a little voice, and he'll say, this is the way, walk in. So I think I want to just go over in that bar. You know, maybe I'll meet a nice guy. Well, that may not be the best place to meet a nice guy, okay? So you need to listen to the Spirit's voice. You hear a little voice behind you say, this is the way, go in it. And it may be, you know, you might want to go to a church, but you might want to do what Dr. Sabrina often says. This is something not too popular, but pray and fast. That means you don't. Actually, if you're from Nigeria, you're probably familiar with it more than people in this country. You don't eat solid food for a period of time. You skip a meal, and you spend the time seeking the Lord instead, praying, asking his guidance, and that's a really good thing to do, to ask which church he wants you to be in. And it's good. It says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. And this Blog Talk Radio broadcast is one way of fellowshipping with other believers. You got a lot of word here, which is really good. And that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You build yourself up, and you find out there's probably people with their doctorate that don't know, what is Jesus's faith in? It says, for I am crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. That means we need to be dead to this world. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And by the way, that's a really good verse to hide in your heart. Everybody needs to know that he, God, who came in the flesh, Emmanuel, loves each one of us personally. But he doesn't want us to do like Dr. Pat was just saying. You can't take the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't do both. It's one or the other. His name is Jealous. He's like a really nice, good, wonderful husband who wants the best for us, and he doesn't want you, you know, hanging out with others, you know, other spirits that aren't healthy for you. He wants the stuff that's good for you. And the more time you spend in his word, you know, I mean, you need to sleep and eat, do the rest of it in due time, but it's going to really build up your faith, and it's awesome when he gets to instruct you in the path that he has personally for you. Because it says you're created by him and for his good pleasure. It says in Revelation, I think it's chapter 5. So we're not here for us. We're here for his good pleasure. He created you for a reason, to bring forth fruit that shall abide. Okay? He loves you really tremendously. And you find those scriptures in there. Like, you might want to look it up. It's John 15, 6. Is that where it is? 15... 15:13, Jesus says, "No greater love hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." So he calls you his friend. He laid his life down, his blood down for you, to purchase you with his own blood. And that's in 1 Peter 1:18. He purchased you with his blood. So that means you don't belong to you. You don't belong to Satan, for sure. But you can't give yourself back to him, because we all used to belong to Satan. And that's why I wanted you to read Romans chapter 16. And I'm just going to read you another couple of verses in there. It says, "What then, shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace." In verse 15 of Romans chapter 6, "God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So there's a choice there. That's Romans 6:16. We have a choice to yield ourselves to Jesus or to the enemy's camp. And keeping your vessel clean and purging yourself, it's a lifelong process. It isn't just people who dabbled in witchcraft, like Bishop Kanko had from Ghana, and he had to go through 2 years of heavy-duty deliverance because he had served the enemy full-time. It isn't just that, but all of us need to keep our vessels clean and washing them in the water of the Word and being washed in his blood. You need to know that you know you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. It'll help you know how important it is to stay close to him and stay full of his word, full of his spirit. So when the enemy comes back to check you out, he says, "I can't get in there. Jesus is in there. The Holy Ghost is in there big time." Okay?
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Well,
yes. God bless you.
God bless you, sister. Lord bless you and keep you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we want you to come back and talk to us Friday night at 7:30, and you can go up on miracleinternetchurch.com, and you can listen to tapes, you know, on deliverance and television and tapes that we've done, and you can recast this program and other programs that we've done on Blog Talk. So there's plenty to keep you busy, to keep you interested, to understand what's going on with you. And thank you, Brother Marshall. That was good ministry. And we'll see you Friday night. Okay?
Okay, I'll try.
God bless.
Okay.
Bye. Yes, God is good all the time. And we have... it looks like a call from, let's see, 111. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Talk Hello? Right into the phone and turn your speakers off.
Hello?
Hello? Talk right into the telephone.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I have a question for you. I you delivered me a long time from smoking, and I bought a Bible, and the Bible is a King James Version by Holman. It's edition is just, I'm just wondering if I have the right Bible, 611 Version.
Did you hear him, Brother Marshall?
Yeah, I heard this person. I think it's a lady. I could be wrong, but if you have a King James Bible from the 1611 translation, it doesn't have to be. There is one that actually uses the archaic printing and stuff. But if it's one that's easy enough to read in regular print, if it's a King James Bible, that's fine. And Holman, I know they make one.
Yeah, Holman, look for the Authorized Version.
Okay, Authorized Version. The one I have is Holman 1611, and it just says King James Version derived in 1611.
That's
by
it.
Holman. So, that's it?
That's it.
Well, praise God, because I've been looking for one for the longest time. And I want you to know that you've been a blessing to my life, and that I listen to you frequently. and that I praise the Lord that you guys are there. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, ma'am. No, I'm
okay.
Call us back and
read the Bible, and we'll be praying for you. God bless you.
God bless you, ma'am. Thank
and don't forget
you.
To read it out loud.
Yes, read it out loud.
It really helps.
Let's see who this is. 972.
Hello, Pat.
Hi.
Hey. I would like to have prayer for our son, our boy that we've been raising for the last 14 years.
Yes.
We share custody with his mother, and we've actually raised him, and he's going through a pretty tough time right now, as he has to share, he has to be over here half the time, over there half the time, and he's just miserable over there because he has to share his mattress with his brother. And they're both, you know, look like adult children. They're big. And so he doesn't get enough sleep, and things aren't going good over there. The mother is into heavy-duty witchcraft, American Indian-type witchcraft. You know, she sees faces in the fire. She talks to her dead father. Stuff like that is going on. She's got Indian artifacts in the house, he tells me. And so he has made, my son, our boy, he has made this plan now. He's hatched this plan. And he told his birth mother that he doesn't love her and he doesn't want to live there anymore.
Uh-huh.
Well, so of course she cried and was very upset with him. And she says, okay, I want you to listen to these tapes that I made of your other parents, and if you still want to live there, go ahead. You can go ahead and live there, but I'm a little bit not too happy about that because she's not really trying to be a good mother at this time.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I can handle him. He has changed in the last year. Very, he's become very vengeful. Very, it's absolutely filled with rebellion and hatred. Is mean to the teachers. Mouths off at me. Gives me the
sister. Dr. Sabrina is going to pray with you and bind those spirits and cage them. And
okay.
We want you to call us back Friday. We only have about 9 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'm looking at the clock. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. How old is this young man?
He is almost 14.
All right. Father,
he's a handful.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we join with this sister with her love for this young man who's her son, her stepson, her son. And Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we forgive the sin that he has entered into in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We say, the Bible says that whoever sins we remit, they are remitted. And so, in agreement with the body, we remit his sins now in Jesus' name. Father, he is a child, he's a youth, underneath the supervision of two godly parents and one ungodly birth parent. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that your grace come between him and the ungodly parent, that your blood, that the wall of fire protect him from the ungodly parent in Jesus' name. We take authority and dominion over every idolic spirit in Jesus' name, every spirit of bondage, every spirit of occult bondage in Jesus' name. We take authority and dominion over all native spirits in Jesus' name, all witchcraft spirits, all Indian spirits in Jesus' name, all dream catchers in Jesus' name, and every occult witchcraft divination practice that the mother participates in. We cut him off from those spirits now in Jesus' name. We sever every ungodly soul tie that he has in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you lead this young man into repentance of sin, that the plan that he hatched is not of God, that he should come to you, Lord God, and submit himself before you, and let you give him your thoughts and your ways. Father, on behalf of this young man, we come in intercession. We bind spirits of witchcraft, Shintoism, Kung Fu, Christian Science, Karate, Confucianism, bitterness, the gall of bitterness. We bind and cage in Jesus' name. Every bitter spirit, every resentful, angry, violent spirit, we bind in Jesus' name. The spirits of hatred, we bind in him in the name of Jesus. We bind the strife spirit that came in with the mother in Jesus' name. We bind her using sympathies against him, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind re-indoctrination with demonic spirits in Jesus' name. We bind every ungodly teaching and doctrine that he has ever heard or ever received in Jesus' name. We bind every science of the mind that's being used against him in the name of Jesus. We forbid any ungodly spirits from the mother to transfer to him in Jesus' name. In fact, we send them back to where they belong in the name of Jesus. Father, we sever all evil transference of spirits that have happened in Jesus' name. The manipulations of the mother, Father, we bind them and cage them in Jesus' name. Every manipulation that she used to get his emotions, to get his heart open to her and to her ways and to open his mind to them, Father, we sever them now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is but a child and a youth. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you adjudicate this matter in Jesus' name. You are the righteous judge, Lord Jesus, and we call for your adjudication in this matter in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you judge on behalf of the poor, of the oppressed, and of the fatherless and the motherless in Jesus' name. Every child is born of you, Lord God. Every child belongs to you. And this child has given his life to you, Father. He prefers a godly home, Father. We ask, Father, that you have mercy on this child and that you look into the true desire of his heart to live in a godly environment and that you grant his prayer request in Jesus' name. Teach him, Father, by your way, that this is not the method you choose for him to do this, but that you will stand up on his behalf, Father. You will speak on his behalf, that the blood of Jesus will speak on his behalf. We take the blood of Jesus and erase from him every dead work in Jesus' name. We call every dead work out of him now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, to cleanse him by your blood. We ask him, Lord God, to fill him with your Holy Spirit. We ask him that you teach him your ways, Father, in Jesus' name. Teach him to trust you and to depend on you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that wisdom even comes from the mouth of a babe, Father, wisdom and praise. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We bind up all the universalist spirits and all the meditation spirits. Father, every prayer, every work that the mother does on his behalf, the birth mother, we ask that you cage them in the name of Jesus. Every work, every spirit. We forbid any spirit to pick up any word, syllable, prayer, divination, any work that she does in darkness on behalf of her son. We cage them, chain them forevermore in Jesus' name. We put the blood between this son and his mother, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sever, Lord God, the waters of birth, and we replace it, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
We cut him off from the navel, Father, in the name of Jesus. When you birthed him into this world, you cut him off from the navel in the natural. Well, Father, now we do it with the sword of the Lord in the spirit in Jesus' name. We circumcise him now in the spirit of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his permanent release from this bondage in Jesus' name. We bind, cage, and chain every bondage that has come into his life since he was conceived in Jesus' name. Every bondage is destroyed. We thank you for the release of the captive. Jesus, you said you came to set the captive free. We thank you for loosing him. We loose him now from every bondage. every bondage. She is released from every bondage now in Jesus' name.
Okay, sister, you're going to call us back Friday, 7:30. We're going pretty soon off the air, and we'll continue to pray for you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I love you. Bye-bye.
I love you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the country, and there's lots of exposure going on, a lot of criminal activities that Richard Nixon had to resign, and people on his staff went to jail for. We bind up the protecting devils that are protecting these people from paying the price of their crimes. We also lift up Kissinger in the name of Jesus, and we cut our country free from that phony man in Jesus' name and his influence. And we forbid those devils to protect him any longer. And Father, Rockefeller and the whole bunch of them, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Marshall, will you close us with prayer?
And we bind every spirit of retaliation in Jesus' name. And we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone involved with the Block Talk radio broadcast and those who will hear it in the future as well. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone who is a member of the body of Christ and will be. In Jesus' name, is a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst of us by the power of your Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name, because you said, I will be a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst of her, because we belong to you. We give you praise and honor and glory. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word is unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. She is called by thy name, Yahweh Tzikenu, the Lord our righteousness. We thank you for giving us your righteousness, Lord, and we know that your righteousness delivers from death because of the blood of the covenant, and we thank you for that gift of righteousness, and we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for your obedient angels, guardian angels, warring angels, all necessary and beneficial angels watching over all of your children, Father God. And when we lie down, we will not be afraid. Yes, we will lie down, and our sleep will be sweet. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. We thank you, Father, for your obedient angels hearkening unto the voice of the word of the Lord to perform it in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you, Father, for drawing us all to the Lord Jesus. We pray that especially for this young man that Dr. Sabrina was just praying for, that you will draw him to the Lord Jesus, that you'll give him to the Lord Jesus, that Lord Jesus will raise him up at the last day. We ask you, Father, to send the proper labors across each one of our paths, including this young man that Dr. Sabrina was just praying for. Send the proper labors across his path that he will come to know the truth in fullness, Father God, and that the truth will set him free, make him completely free, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor and glory, Father, because you said, if two of you on earth agree to touch anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus and all your wonderful and perfect gifts that come down from above, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you Friday night, Marshall.
All right.
Keep
Lord bless you.
Me. I'll
yes,
keep
ma'am.
Praying. You.
Thank you. Well, boy, I appreciate it. I need it. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
God bless you.
Amen.
The Lord bless you all and keep you.
Okay.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I put the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth on you. And he said, I will do it. Thank you for the protection of your name and the name of his Father and our Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for protecting us by the power of your name. Thank you, Alpha and Omega. Thank you for standing, Jesus, in your name, protecting us, keeping us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Jehovah, the mighty God.